That's got to be hard to type them lyrics out for that song. Looked like she got it right, though. Professional, huh? She's got skills. All right. All right. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Good to see all your wonderful faces here this morning. And let's get ready for God's Word. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this divine appointment that you've given us today to be here, Lord. Regardless of what's going on in our lives and what's going on in the world, Father God, we thank you that our priority, on at least on Sunday mornings, is to be here in your house, Father God, and to hear your word and to hope and pray that it changes our lives, Father, and that we receive it, that we live it, and that we are thankful and grateful for it. And we just praise you, Lord. We give you all the glory. We ask that you bless this message as we continue on through our study in your book of Acts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, yep, divine appointment. That's all of us. That's Paul today, and that's what all believers should be in, is a divine appointment by God, amen, to serve him and to serve others. And so as we get closer to the end of the book of Acts, we're going to see God's will is going to continue to be done over and over and over again, amen, and despite any opposition that stands in the way, God's will be done. And last week we saw some opposition. We saw that 40 assassins had almost succeeded. Amen. Almost succeeded, if not for Paul's nephew, right? Paul's nephew in convincing the fake news. I mean, the commander into unknowingly taking part in the assassination attempt of Paul the apostle. Amen. He almost unknowingly took part in that, but God's providence, amen? But the commander, it says, was wise and worried about his own fate, okay? The commander was wise and he was worried about himself, okay? So he was planning the next move to deliver Paul from the danger once again, right? He had already delivered him a couple of times. He was about to do it again. And so thanks be to God for that. Martin Luther made this statement. He said, "Mighty potentates have raged against this book and sought to destroy and uproot it," holding the Bible up, amen. "Alexander the Great and princes of Egypt and Babylon, the monarchs of Persia, of Greece, and of Rome, the emperors Julius and Augustus, but all have prevailed nothing. They are gone while the book remains, and it will remain forever and ever, perfect and entire as it was declared at first. Who has thus helped it? Who has protected it against such mighty forces? No one surely but God himself, who is the master of all things." You see, God's will and God's word is going to be done, and he's going to use anyone he wishes to get that done. Amen? Anyone he wishes and anything he wishes. So God's providence knows no bounds, and God's providence knows no prejudice. Amen? We are all equal in his eyes, and he will use us all equally in his eyes. So he's what I like to call an equal opportunity enforcer. All right? He's going to judge us all. Amen? An equal opportunity enforcer. And here in today's text, he's going to use an extremely large detachment of soldiers to fulfill his will, right? But also to reassure the Apostle Paul of just who's in charge, right? And who's controlling everything, and that he is going to make it to Rome, okay? So our first verse, hallelujah. Our first verse, verse 23, it says, "Then he called two of his centurions," talking about the commander, "and he ordered them, 'Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. provide horses for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix. So 470 soldiers to escort one man, right? Sounds like the commander's going to make sure it gets done right, right? Amen? And so they're going to escort Paul to Caesarea, and that was all God, okay? All God showing Paul his faithfulness and reassuring him that his promise to make it to Rome is going to come true, okay? Bianca, can you turn me down just a little bit? I think I'm getting some feedback here. Check, one, two, one, two, check, 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 check. Yeah, that sounds, no, a little bit more. One, two, three, one, two, three, check, check. Yeah, right there, right there. All right, thank you. So this is Paul, or this is the commander, and this doing what God is telling him to do, amen? But the reason for this is he's showing Paul that what he promised him was going to come true, right? And I don't think that Paul was doubting God, right? I think God just knows that we as humans, we need reassurance. Right, amen. Amen? We need reassurance all the time. Just like Moses and the Israelites, if you've been studying with us through Exodus on Wednesdays, or know the text, right, you can relate. You see, I don't think Paul was really worried, okay? He wasn't really worried. After all, the Lord had told him. He came to him and told him, amen? So I think I'm completely off now. Check, 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 check. Can you hear me now? No, turn it up more, right there, right there. Just try that, just leave it there. So when Paul saw all the soldiers getting ready, amen, 470 soldiers getting ready to escort him, he saw that they had provided for him also horses, okay? Said in verse 24 that they provided him horses, okay, for him to ride on. So I think Paul was convinced at this point, okay? He knew God's will was going to be done and he was going to make it, right? So he would escape safely and majestically as he left on his choice of horses. He was going to have a presidential escort, if you will, right, to the next city, okay? And he would know that God is good and God is all-powerful, amen. Right? God proves that to us all the time, yeah. Right? Amen? This was the reassurance of God that he was going to protect Paul, get him there safely, right? And he's going to protect anybody that he chooses for that matter, amen? Any of us. And he'll prove it to us over and over again. You see, Jesus not only went to the cross to save our souls, but he protects us, amen? Every day, he gives us a new life in him right here and right now, right? Yeah, our salvation means we're going to go to heaven, but we start living our salvation today, right here, right now. Your best life can start right now if it hasn't started already, right? We are saved. If it would have been enough, I'm sorry, to just be saved for salvation, but God loves us so much that he wants us to live in victory today. Today, right here in this moment. Amen? God loves us so much that he not only gave his son for us, but he protects us right here, right now. He gives us a hope, and he loves us, so he gives us a choice. That's what choice is all about. That's what free will is all about. It's about God's love for us. Amen? He can make us all a bunch of robots. Everybody's going to heaven. Do exactly what God says or you're done, right? But he doesn't work that way. He loves us. Amen? The Father loves us like we can't even understand that kind of love. Think about how much you love your kids, right? And multiply that times 100. Amen? That's how much God loves us. That's why he gives us a free will choice. Amen? The goodness of God is here for the taking today, right now, right here. We don't have to wait to die in order to receive his promise. Salvation starts today. Amen. We can receive God's glory today. He is here to protect us and get us through every trial and every hardship because we're still going to have hardships. Yes. Amen? We're still going to have hardships. Just because we're saved and we're following Christ doesn't mean we're not going to have hardships. Sometimes we get even more hardships than we had before. Amen? Just look. But that's God preparing us. Amen? Okay, and we're going to get to that. But just look how many hardships Paul would have to still deal with. Right? He's not even close to done yet. Amen? They say God gives his hardest battles to his strongest warriors. Amen. Right? Remember that. And praise the Lord for his strength, because that's how we get through it. That's how we endure. In his strength, not in our strength. So the stronger our relationship is with God, the more we can handle. And God knows that. Amen? So God's going to use us for his kingdom. And it's not always going to be easy. Remember, our suffering, okay, we're being conformed. Sanctification is being conformed to be more and more like Jesus every day. Amen? That's our goal, okay? To be more and more like Christ every day. And our suffering, I talked about this for a minute in the Bible study yesterday, our suffering conforms us to the image of Christ's suffering, right? So we're going to be more and more like Christ even in our suffering, right? We all know how much Christ suffered for us. So how much more can we suffer, right? We can't even get close to that, amen? But we want to conform to his image, and part of that is our suffering. And so Paul was suffering, and God was once again going to provide an escape route out of the danger. That's what he does for us too, amen? When we're faithful, God will give us an escape route. It's a little work sometimes, but he will give us an escape route. Never give up on the providence of God in your life, because even in the midst of our suffering, like I said a minute ago, God is preparing us for the next battle, amen. Right? Because there's battles coming. Amen. There's going to be battles coming. And just know that God is preparing us through every struggle. Amen? Every struggle. Always know that Jesus cares what we're going through, and that he wants to work powerfully through us and through his church to reach others, to save others, and to just be the hands and feet of Christ. To be the good, to be the light in this world. Amen. That is amazing grace. So never limit what God can do for you. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Amen. Right? We can't even imagine how much God wants to do for us. Amen? It's beyond our, it just blows our minds, right? Whatever you could possibly think of in your head that you want God to do in your life, he can do that and far much, much, much more than that. Amen. Amen? Much more than that. Never limit God and his divine appointment for your life. Never limit. There's no limits. Amen? We can do all things through Christ. And so the commander writes this letter, okay? Excuse me for a minute. Took care of the feedback, I guess, huh? Because the professional's back over there on the... getting some brownie points today, amen, all right? Okay, so the commander writes his letter, verse 26. He starts out with his name, okay? Claudius Lysias, okay, that's the commander's name. To His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings. So the commander begins the letter with the formal, that was a formal threefold, they called salutation of a Greek letter back then, amen? They would say, His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings, okay? And with Felix being given the respectful title now of His Excellency, right? And you know what that is? That's the commander kissing his butt. Yeah. Amen? All right? All right? He's still covering his own, he's covering himself, okay? All right? And verse 27, and he continues on, he says, This man was seized by the Jews, talking about Paul, and they were about to kill him, but I came with my troops, the commander said, and rescued him, for I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. Making himself look pretty good, huh? Yeah. So after the formalities of kissing up were over, the letter was going to get down to business, okay? And he's going to explain the circumstances of Paul's arrest, at least in it, his look at it, right? His take of it. And so the commander, of course, would stretch the truth a little bit, to protect himself mostly, okay? To protect himself from persecution and to make himself look like a hero to Governor Felix, okay? So, but this is just an example of our sin nature coming through, Amen. Of his sin nature coming through. When we're not living in the truth, our sin nature comes through pretty strong. Amen. And so remember, he didn't know Paul was a Roman citizen until they attempted to flog him, right? They were going to flog him, possibly kill him. And that's when Paul said, hold up, right? He pulled his proverbial trump card out, right? And said, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't do this to me, right? So he didn't help him because he knew. He helped him because Paul scared him and said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen. You can get in trouble for this. Amen? So Lysias, the commander, he did save Paul, which was probably the reason that Paul didn't snitch him off to Governor Felix. Amen? He just let the letter go. Amen? I think Paul was just happy to get out of Jerusalem alive. Right? Just happy to do that. The Jews there were very dangerous, even for the Romans, amen, in that province. They were very dangerous due to their religious fervor, okay? And Paul was going to be much better off in Caesarea, okay? Because this was where all the Romans were at, okay? And so the Romans were happy as well, knowing that the Jews were less likely to cause a riot in the presence of the governor, Felix, okay? So it was going to calm down over there. And there's a lot of Romans there, so they were happy to move on. But just in case, they're going to take, along the way, they're going to take 470 soldiers with them. All right? Just in case. Sounds like a plan. I mean, if you got 500, you might as well send 470, right? And verse 28, he goes on. He said, I wanted to know why they were accusing him. Here he is, the hero again, right? So I brought him to their Sanhedrin. And I found that the accusation had to do with questions about their law, but there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment. Once again, it sounds like when Jesus was on trial, right? Sounds a lot like it. Commander Lysias' account of the hearing in the Sanhedrin was less biased because the whole debate was about Jewish law and less about the Roman law, right? So he's like, that's got nothing to do with our laws. That's your guys' deal, right? It was not a case for Roman civil judgment. Hence, the report would state that he saw no reason for a charge against him. Not in Roman law, amen? He saw no reason for a charge against him. And that was seemed to be the reoccurring theme for Paul, right? They kept jailing him, arresting him, attacking him. But you remember in Philippi, the officials almost apologized to Paul in Acts 16. And then and then Gallio in Corinth had refused to try him in Acts 18, mm-hmm. Right? They kept letting him go because he was innocent. They couldn't find anything against him, right? I mean, he wasn't innocent to the Jews who were persecuting him, right? But to the law, he was. And then in Ephesus, the town clerk told 25,000 people that the complaint involved questions about Jewish law, once again, right, like today, not Roman law, and he would wash his hands of it, right? They didn't want anything to do with these false accusations, but they were still called to keep the peace, amen? Bruce wrote, he said, one of Luke's prime motives in writing his twofold history, okay, which is the book of Luke and Acts, was to demonstrate that there's no substance in this charge of subversion brought not only against Paul, but against Christians in general. That competent and impartial judges, all right, competent and impartial judges had repeatedly confirmed the innocence of the Christian movement and the Christian missionaries in respect of Roman law. Christians were innocent of any crime, it would say in Acts 19. All right? They were innocent of any crime, and now a Roman commander was proclaiming Paul's innocence again, right? Over and over again. God's providence or just the truth, right? Either way, it's not guilty. Amen? Whether it's God's providence or the truth, Paul was not guilty. Okay, and God was going to get him through this as well. The last part of the letter, in verse 30, he says, When I was informed of a plot to be carried out against the man, I sent him to you at once, and I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him. Right? He's just ordering everybody around, right? Amen? So it seems the commander was all about Paul, the Roman citizen, all right? Because Paul was a Roman citizen, all right? And this final part of the letter would relate the immediate circumstances leading to the transfer of Paul while avoiding this ambush that they had set up for him, okay? So Lysias was going to add that he had ordered the accusers to present their case to the governor as well. Conveniently, he would leave out the fact that at one point he had prepared to flog Paul. He didn't mention that, right? He didn't mention that part. It must have slipped his mind, right? Right? But he was making himself look good, that's for sure. And so, verse 31, they started on their way, okay? It says, the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day, they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. And when the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. I got a map here. Well, this is a better map, okay? Because I had a map that my wife said you couldn't see, so she got this one for me. She hates when I talk about her, but anyway. You see here that it's 63 miles, okay, from Jerusalem all the way to Caesarea, okay? 63 miles. They took Paul. They brought him by night safely and heavily guarded by all 470 soldiers right here to Antipatris, okay? That's how far everybody went, all right? Because that was the most dangerous part of the journey. That's where they were. That's where the Jewish people were heavy and probably waiting for him, amen? So that would have been dangerous for him. But after that, they were going to leave him only 70 cavalry soldiers to escort him the rest of the way. Only, right? Only. So Paul was still very well protected. All right? 70. What's that? I couldn't hear you. Is this Gaza? Oh, the area of Gaza? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. It is all along here, this coastal route. It will be. All right. So after that, they were going to leave him 70 soldiers, right? So he's very well protected, and they're going to hand Paul over to the Roman governor, okay? Paul would make it out of Jerusalem all the way to Caesarea, just like the Lord said he would, okay? He's going to make it all the way. The plot of the enemy and those 40 assassins had failed, all right? They had failed, but God's providence was going to be done, amen? Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Amen. The Lord's purpose is going to prevail. Praise God that His providence came through for Paul and he would make it all the way. Amen? This miracle, if you will, was at the perfect time, because God's time is always perfect. Amen? At the perfect time, because it was a miracle. It was another miracle on Paul's missionary journey, okay? And when do miracles happen? Well, usually when things are going bad, right? We see things as miracles happening, right? When things are going bad. And we don't usually pray for miracles or sometimes pray at all unless things aren't going well, right? I mean, it's a good thing to be grateful and give thanks to God and have gratitude. But we don't usually pray unless something's going wrong, right? Somebody's sick or something's going, and we need something. Then we pray because we want miracles, but we don't want the suffering. Amen? Everybody wants a miracle, but nobody wants suffering. If we're truly try and conform to the image of Christ, though, what we say earlier, we have to suffer. Right. Amen? Amen? We got to suffer, and we're all going to suffer somewhat at some point. And of course, Paul was going to suffer, and he was going to be saved many times over. This allows God to show his power. Amen? To show his power and what he can do, right? Acts 9:16, the Lord said, I will show him, talking about Paul, how much he must suffer for my name. Right? how much he must suffer for my name. And so it is for us. In fact, the Lord said that as disciples of Christ, we would be blessed to suffer for his name. Right. It's a blessing to suffer for the Lord's name. And by the way, that vow that those 40 thieves had to make to not eat or drink anything until they killed Paul, it actually ended the following Saturday at the men's breakfast. When Pastor Mark and Pastor John were cooking all kinds of food. But they would get through that. Okay. Verse 34 says, so the governor would read this letter, okay, and asked, what province is he from? Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will hear your case when your accusers get here. Obviously, he was going to have to hear it. And then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. I think Felix had probably hoped, as Pilate had hoped, right, that the accused had come from another province so he wouldn't have to be the judge, right? So he wouldn't have to be the judge and the jury. And he knew he was going to have to hear the case. And in doing so, he's going to say in verse 35, I'll hear your case when your accusers get here. Mm-hmm. All right? So here we go. You go, God. Amen? Paul was going to get another opportunity to speak to some very important people. All right? Maybe even witness or preach to a governor. Right? Remember that in Acts chapter 9 that the Lord said to Ananias, he said that Paul would go on to speak to Gentiles and their kings. Right? Leaders. Okay? This would be the beginning of the fulfillment of that prophecy. Right? Because all those prophecies come true. Amen. He's going to speak to governors and kings all the way until he gets to Rome. And in Rome, he's going to speak to Caesar himself, right? The ruler of the world at the time, right? He's going to speak to Caesar himself. All this was made possible. Why? Because he suffered for the Lord's name, right? He would have never made it to speak to these people if it wasn't for his suffering that he had to go through. Amen? Because he suffered for the Lord's name. And then in verse 35, he would be commanded once again to be put in jail, right? This time in Herod's palace, which we know is not a good place to be in jail, right? Amen? But he would spend 2 years in jail in Caesarea, okay? 2 years. And then he's going to spend a year traveling in first-class chains, okay? He's going to spend a year traveling, and then he's going to spend 2 more years, or his last 2 years in Rome, in jail, locked up. Amen? The last 5 years of Paul's life on earth will be spent as Paul the prisoner. Right? Paul the prisoner, the apostle, the prisoner, and the preacher. Because he's going to be preaching. Amen? He's going to be preaching. Paul had been a free missionary. He was able to travel to any place he wanted and preach the gospel to anybody he wanted. But now, he was going to be Paul the prisoner. Okay? But the miracle in all this is that the Lord would still use him to reach those he could not have reached as a free man. Right? And God still does the same thing today. Amen? There's a lot of preachers in prison. There's a lot of preachers in jail. Amen? Different settings, okay, for the same commission. We all have different settings for the same commission. To teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is something that we can all be called to do wherever we're at in our lives. You see, no matter where we are, if we commit ourselves to God, he can use us for his kingdom and for his good. And no matter, because we're all at different levels of sanctification too. Amen? Not just where we're at physically, but where we're at spiritually and mentally. Paul saw the opportunity in his suffering because he knew how to receive the promise of Jesus. Right? That's key too. We got to know how to receive the promise of Jesus. How do we do that? With a strong relationship. Amen? When our relationship with the Lord is strong, no adversity on earth can impede our mission for Christ. Nothing. Stronger our relationship is, the more we can do for the Lord. We can do all things through Christ. Amen? All things. These were divine appointments that would be kept, okay? Not only because of God's promise, but because of Paul's belief and relationship with the Savior, right? And it's the same for us. It's the same for us. Regardless of where we are in life, as long as there's breath in our lungs, God can use us for His good purpose, right? He will. He will. And, you know, and so what's the question for all of us, okay, is what is your divine appointment this week, right? Or this month, or this year? What does God have for you? Amen? Where is God going to use you? Where is God calling you to be a witness? Maybe at work, right? Maybe at church. Maybe at home. Maybe at the Billy Graham look-up celebration, right? Where is God calling you today? Ask yourself that. What is your divine appointment today? And ask God, who can I serve today? Who can I serve today? Amen? Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for every opportunity You give us, for the peace it gives us, Father God, to serve You and to serve others. We thank You for Your powerful Word, Father God, that lives in us when we receive it. Powerful Word that we can use to help others and to bring others closer to You, Father God. Thank You for the great commission that You have given to us all as believers. Thank You for calling us Your children and loving us more than we can fathom. Father, we give You this day. We give You this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.